The Boiled Sports Handsome Hour is sponsored by Martin Vintage. Go to martinvintage.com and check out their excellent selection of high-quality Purdue t-shirts. Enter Boiled at checkout to get 20% off your order. martinvintage.com. If you'd like to sponsor the Handsome Hour, please contact us at boiledsports@gmail.com. We're cheap. I mean, well, you know what I mean.
I don't know if we'll have any pre-show banter actually this time. We'll have enough. We'll have enough.
So here, let's. One note, and it's Jay that I think keeps us going. It's just a reminder. It's nothing new here.
But 40 minutes. Try to
keep it. Let's shoot for an hour.
Do you have like a tick that you have to say that like every? Uh-huh. every episode?
And guess what? I can tell you. I'm glad I'd say it now because what you and Michael did was an abomination. It was not focused. It was not on time.
It was an hour.
It was not about sports. It was, I don't know what it was. I was entertained, but I was driving back from a long
way. I enjoyed it.
It was wonderful. Hey, you left us loose to our own devices.
You think that we can talk about the Ohio State game this week?
We can. I realized we disconnected. And I'm like, I don't think we talked about Illinois at all.
How about that?
46-7. How about that as a comment?
I know.
46-7 and wasn't even worth discussing.
Right.
Because it wasn't.
No.
What did you want us to break down the way they
pummeled them? Yeah. Beat them about the face.
And hey guys, hold on. So I just opened ESPN.com, and at the top, you know where it says
Rom hired by Los Angeles Rams.
No. At the top, it says number 2 Ohio State 20 Purdue 49. Is that a typo?
No, that happened.
It must be.
Huh. That was real.
Welcome to the Boyle Sports Handsome Hour. It is Jay. It's a three-man booth, three men in a two-man tent. Mm-hmm. Jay joined by a horse, Boiler Dad.
Yeah, boy.
I'd more classify him as a donkey, but
and the niche.
I know, and I'm the pig.
And it is a week 7 Handsome Hour. Purdue, hey, as expected, Purdue's 4-3.
Listen, if we have told you guys anything over the last couple of years, it's that nobody comes into Ross Aid.
Nobody comes into Ross Aid. I thought, what was funny, I was thinking about this. Anish said on the season opening podcast, he said, we all talked, right, 6-0 is a dream, 5-1 is an amazing season. I remember you saying, Anish, first half of the season, if you want it to be a really good season, it has to be like 4-2. You got to be 4-2 through six games.
That was a lot.
3-3. But if you were 4-2 through six games, and then you got Ohio State coming in, you're thinking, all right, they probably lose that game. That's probably one of the ones that's going to be tough to win. So here we are, 4-3. That's what we expected to be.
Life is good, man. Life is good. You slip up against Ohio State, you lose to Nebraska, and you get the rest of the games. You maybe lose one other one. This is exactly where we were going to be, right?
Or they win four in a row.
Yeah.
Whatever. Man, am I going to be pissed if they lose the West because of that opening night loss to Northwestern.
They're not, but you're going to be pissed because they're going to get to 9 wins and your 10 wins. Your 10 win prediction is going to be off by
the way you guys wiped it off the board after 3 weeks. It's still going to feel like a win. So it doesn't matter. It's still there. It's still out there. And how about this? We could talk about so much. Now, when you look at the schedule, you guys and everyone else listening,
I'm licking my chaps. Is there anyone now that you're afraid of? Bring it on.
The Colts right now, and I wouldn't be afraid. I mean, the mentality of this team is so excellent right now. I mean, the fact that they were getting chippy before the game, they were like, Who are you guys, little guys, coming into our stadium? This is our stadium.
Nobody comes into Ross Aid.
They listen to the show. They know what
it is. I love that. And because like Purdue's not going to do that against – they won't even do it against Indiana because who cares? Who would they do that against? Ohio State,
the team that they hold a winning record against at home since 2000, which is ludicrous.
5-3 since 2000. 4-2 in their last six. It's really weird. And what's funny to me, we talked about this. Michael and I started to talk about this last week when we sort of touched on the Purdue football. But Ohio State fans, they weren't pulling any, like, it wasn't reverse jinxing. They weren't, they were genuinely,
they were worried.
Well, here, can I ask you guys honest? I mean, like, so on Twitter, especially, we were hearing a lot of Ohio State blogger types really, really coming at us about how much they were worried or afraid of this game. And I was like, there's no way these guys are afraid of Purdue.
They
there's
watch
no
all
way.
The time, just like we watch all the time.
It's just weird. They felt a weirdness. Right. It's not that they were afraid. Well, it's so that they were like, let's just escape with a win. Let's just.
What Michael and I touched on, and I do think was on point last week, is that the thing that scares them is that you have no idea what's going to happen when you play Purdue. It doesn't matter whether Purdue's good or not.
Right.
Anything can happen. And things go sideways for them at Ross 8 all the time. All the time.
Did you guys see my exchange with one of the guys from 11 Warriors? I went and I read their predictions. Did you read that?
And I
just
think so.
And I retweeted it and I just said confident, period.
Oh yes.
They all picked Ohio State to win. About the same margin we predict Ohio State.
I was gonna say to be fair, we
be
all
very honest.
Very confident in Ohio State as well.
Right. But to me, the interesting thing is if Purdue was on it was the other way around. If Purdue was second in the nation going into a beleaguered Ohio State, we'd be like, oh, this is the game we'll lose. Right? I mean, just like there would be at least one of us would be a naysayer.
Oh, yeah.
Fake, right? Those guys were just like, two-score win. And then I addressed it with – the guy addressed it with me because he thought I was being a jerk, and I was. And I just wanted to – I wanted as much bulletin board-type material out there in the Purdue universe as possible. I just wanted everyone to understand that they weren't all afraid. There were many of them that thought, you know, this is still Purdue, that sort of thing. And he said, oh, it's going to be a hard game until the fourth quarter, right? And so that
that was true.
Process, yes, exactly. Pretty easy in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was like, we're just trying to get first downs and Rondale Moore's going to crush your little DB.
DJ Knox.
DJ freaking Knox.
Middle twice for what were they both like 60-yard touchdowns?
I just watched that play. So one of them, he goes – left to right, he plants his right foot and just cuts this nice full
when
speed.
The DB falls down.
Yes, number four. I don't know who he is. And I was like, holy moly. And I can remember, so we have this area, you guys have sat in these seats, right near there's a handicap area in Ross 8, and there's a big opening area in front of us. And so the more nervous I get, the more I use that space, I Thanks really explore it. And so if things are going well, I'll move around too. And I looked up, my brother had moved down to a row in front of us. And when Knox breaks away, I look around, my brother's gone. he's just started jogging up and down. And so then we like start, and then I start jogging up and down, and then I'm hugging strangers. Like I say, it was so fun. I didn't have you guys to hug, sadly, but I was hugging strangers. And
I woke up with a hangover and a headache and a sore throat. It was like I was there and I was just in my house in Pittsburgh. So I don't know if I would have made this game. I don't know.
I fell asleep at 5:15 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, at 3:30. I wrote the piece that I posted this morning about why I watch sports. This is why I watch sports. I wrote that last night after multiple bourbons. The writing, you know, the sports writing bourbons.
Right. Those are the ones that help.
Yeah, exactly. And I channeled my inner Hunter S. Thompson and drank several more whiskeys than I thought were necessary. And I don't know if I would have made it. I don't know if I would have survived. I know you did, Dowd. You did the recap. I think we've gone officially. We've gone too far discussing the game without discussing the guest of honor at the game. We touched on this a little bit in the pre-show, and I'm not sure how much I'll actually include in that. But I was describing the win to two people that know that I am a Purdue fan and know that I know about college football. They're from outside of the country, but didn't necessarily follow the exact story. And the joy that I and the sadness that I took in explaining why Saturday was my favorite sports memory. All of the details that went into it, the ups and downs that went into it, it was just incredible. And I don't know if I would have been able to last at Down in your recap, you rushed the field and you did a little bit of a video because of it. Mm-hmm. You were lost. You were lost for words. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I would have been.
I was lost for words, and I was I literally lost my 12-year-old son, which is great.
He's probably used to that.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably was trying to get away. He was probably trying to find people.
So, I mean, like, the good news is I had responsible adults with me who actually could think clearly. My brother and one of my best friends were there, and it was awesome. Like, it was so crowded. Like, right before we go on, I had an unedited video that I say to my son. I reach back, he grabs my coat, and I say, hold on to my coat. And I said, if we get separated, meet on the 50, on the numbers. Because I was like, it's going to happen, right? We're going to get separated at some point. And then you go down there and, like, it's awesome. Like, I got this one, turn the corner, and I watch the people that do this and, like, run like little kids. It's my older brother and my buddy, and these guys are not like little kids. That's just not their personalities, right? But it was such a fantastic release, and it was.
How much of that had to do with football?
My son really picked me at this idea. He said, how does this compare to the Breeze to Morales game? And I said, well, here's the deal. That is a different game because coming into that game, number one, I thought Purdue would win. Okay. This one, I thought it's going to take a special effort for Purdue to win because they are overmatched here. This is not a well-built program like it was by that point under Joe Tiller. Purdue was made to demolish Big Ten teams under Joe Tiller. This Purdue team were like, they're fun, they're entertaining, but they're not there yet, right? That's sure as heck what I thought coming in. But bigger than that, of course, was the faith portion of this. And I don't mean to overplay this at all, but like you look at what Tyler thought about the game, how steadfast he was about, well, Purdue's going to win. Well, Purdue's going to win. He just said it every time. I'm going to watch Purdue win. And nobody else in the stadium believed it. It's almost like we're like, yeah, sure, they're going to win. We're glad. We're super happy you're here. You know, yeah, Purdue's going to win. You know, I didn't believe.
No, me neither. And none of us did.
Right. And it was it's just a powerful day. And I could dig way deeper in this than we need to about my thoughts on Tyler and his family and David Blau and DJ Knox. And the look on DJ Knox's face when Tyler is talking and when Coach Brohm is talking about Tyler, if you look in that, you know, that one picture, it's like a high angle camera looking over the entire team or the team that made it back there. Because Blau is not back there yet. I bet he's being interviewed by somebody. The look on Knox's face is awesome because if you listen to the audio of that telecast, one thing Herb Street talks about, one thing I really relate well with DJ Knox is DJ Knox plays with a chip on his shoulder because he's 5'7". I live life with a bit of chip on my shoulder because I'm 5'4", and I've always been that way, right? So I know short man's disease is a real thing, right? But Knox doesn't have any of that pent-up anger on his face. He has this almost look of peace. I don't know how else to describe it. If you guys get a chance to watch that video, look at DJ Knox. Look at DJ Knox and tell me this whole story hasn't just touched these guys to the middle. And it doesn't. It means, like you said, Anish, it means so much more than football. This is a member of their family now. And it started last year. It really started last year when Bentley and Tyler became friends. It's such a cool thing, right? Because Bentley has probably always been big man on campus, right? He was an incredible athlete in high school. He was probably a guy that everybody loved and everybody knew. And Tyler Trent was homeschooled, and he's a thin guy, and he's super cerebral, and he was probably precocious, way ahead of his time in the way he verbalized. I bet he was like my son at 5 years old. He just formulated his thoughts. He was articulate. He's always that kid that, you know, other kids probably thought he was weird, I'm guessing, right? And so Bentley saw this guy, this sick kid, as a man who was fighting something that was bigger than him. And Bentley said, I want to be near this fight. I want to see this guy fight this. I want to help this guy. I want to support this guy, right? And I think the guys on the team saw the way Bentley kind of gave him up. I mean, literal he came alongside and hugged him. He had him, you know, I've seen multiple pictures of Bentley's massive arms around Tyler Trent, right? Just kind of when they're walking out on the field. And this year those guys picked up, and the idea of a bunch of football players, you know, Division I athletes gathering around a kid to pray for him as he dies is just, it's incredible. It's incredible. And the, there's so many learning lessons here for everybody here. You know?
I mean, Brom talking, you know, he used words. I know you guys felt this way. I felt this way when Tyler's news was getting worse and worse. I remember thinking I wasn't sure what to even say because everyone was just saying, you're in our thoughts, you're in our prayer, right? And it's like everyone's saying the same thing. So you're like, what do I say? I want to tell them that we care about them. And I remember seeing you before I could think of replying, you just said, we love you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know we don't know him that well, but that's the perfect thing to say. And then Brom in the post game was for the first time saying that, because there's nothing. He used to just kind of like a tough football coach. He would say, he's going to fight. He's going to keep fighting. But now he's saying, we love him. He's one of us. We love him. And one of the things I wanted to call out, because you know all of ESPN brass is listening to this podcast. They all do, right? All the high-level people, right?
Yeah.
I thought ESPN did a great job in all aspects of Tyler's story. Like, we call them out when they deserve it. I think – so Rinaldi, we know, is amazing, right? We know he's great. We know the way –
Rinaldi took that story personally, though. That was bigger than a typical Rinaldi story.
Every time you saw him –
look at him! Yes!
You saw him talking to Tyler after he was done with stuff, like leaning in, holding on to him, shaking his hand. Like, he says on the sideline, I was texting with Tyler, and I'm like, I love this. They're texting buddies. I love this. And like, but he's a pro, right? Even we get on Herb Street sometimes. He was clearly moved. Fowler,
that game meant something to him that you don't see, because Fowler is a consummate pro, right?
Yes.
He was emotional, like wound up emotional.
But a lot of guys would oversell it. And he was watching it the way we all were. He said stuff like, if Purdue holds on to this, he's like, this is like a script. He's like, how could you even write this? You know, he was saying it in the incredulous way. I think the way, and that's what makes a great broadcaster a pro, right? Like, they just say the right thing. He wasn't being melodramatic. He wasn't. It was just so genuine. And I thought, I know they all did a great job of telling that story. And the reaction shots of Tyler, like, they didn't. It was necessary. It was important. Like, people wanted to see the payoff, because Ryan, he looked awful in the thing they recorded a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he was on death's door. And the energy he clearly had last night, that was
Anisha's story, right? That's why sports matters. Yep.
Helping the rest of us, because we all saw that and we're like, thank God he's actually enjoying it. He's there. He's enjoying it. He's texting people during the game. Like, I don't know. I and then to see Blau, one more thing on that is Blau shaking his hand when he came in for the press conference.
You hear what he said to him?
Yeah. Yeah. And then
about you and praying for you. I love you.
Yes. And then the way he shook his brother's hand, he just like grabbed him and like yanked him in. Like, it's not, you know, he understands everyone it's affecting. And how could you not love? I mean, like you said, this whole team is rallying around him, but David Blau is the captain of this.
Oh my God. He walks as the team walks. You know what I mean? He goes as the team goes, and that's on the football field and that's off it as well. Bentley and Rondale Moore.
Bailey.
Yeah, no, but Bailey and Rondale might be the best players on the team. I think that they're the two most talented players on the team. Mm-hmm. But the captain of the team is David Blau, and that wouldn't matter if David Blau is the quarterback or Elijah Sindelar was.
You know what I love about this story, guys? We've seen this story before. We've seen the story of a guy that a program rallies around and then they say, we're winning this for him, right? And I didn't hear that once. Did you hear that?
No.
I didn't hear we're playing this for Tyler.
No.
You know why? Because somebody got it through their head that his fight is so much bigger than ours.
Yes. Yeah. Right? It doesn't matter. Yeah. This nonsense is just sports.
Yeah. But what the message that was shaped and the nuance that I see and that
exactly.
I hear
right.
is that Jeff Brom said, look at his fight. Look how he came into his life every day with a smile on his face. And he showed you, if you fight for something, you can do something bigger. He didn't talk about wins and losses.
No. Because it didn't matter.
Because it's a process, and it takes forever. And you know what? Tyler won the second he got to the game last night.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
It didn't matter. It did.
No, you guys, I'm sure you guys heard his account of his last few days and how sick he had felt. Yeah. And there's a Jay knows this. I think Anish, you and I talked about this too, that I sent Tyler a note and I said, hey, I really want to bring my son down to see you, to meet you during the game. I didn't take him down. When you guys and Jack and I got to talk to him at the Missouri game, I didn't bring him down. And he says, well, I don't know where I'm sitting yet. And so to me, I start playing these little interactions and I say, oh, he was struggling. He didn't know if he was going to make it.
He didn't know if he was coming.
And so then, him to get there and then it, like you guys said, Purdue handled this brilliantly. And I say Purdue, everyone. They got him in the box. They put him up in front of Shout because it made everybody feel like we're all here together. I hate Shout. I've said this before. I stayed and I actually jumped up and down and did Shout.
Like a good white person.
Like exactly, like my mom would love me to do.
Mom, thanks for listening.
Mom's thanks for listening. She is not listening. That was powerful. And I said to my older brother right before, and I was just thinking about the game. I was in the zone where I was thinking, okay, how many more possessions do Purdue need to put this game away?
And if I can interject real quick, hold on to what you're saying. Uh-huh. But there was a switch flipped about halfway through the third quarter, I think subconsciously in every Purdue fan's mind. And it didn't hit until halfway in the third quarter, which was, this is a great story, but Ohio State's probably going to win.
Yes.
And halfway through the third quarter, you were like, I need this win.
Now I want you do cross this that corner where you're like, now if it loses,
I need it.
Terrible. Right. Well, so my brother though, I've been explaining Tyler's story to everyone, just like you guys, everybody that I know that will listen. I've been explaining his story and I've been getting into details and I've been coming to tears and I've been getting to this. Like I said, it's a convulsive cry. I'm my heart's broken heaving for his family, for his brothers, for all these people that are alongside him. And so with my brother, I grab his coat and I say, if they bring him out for this, if they bring him out for the Shout, this whole place is either going to be a puddle or just so much energy that we're going to be able to feel it. Right. And it was so powerful. And it was like, it's one of those things where I hoped it would happen. Nobody told me it was going to happen. And they started introducing him. I don't know if you guys could hear his introduction. Oh, it was powerful. They said, this recent Purdue grad. That's how I started. I was like, they didn't talk about this guy being sick. They didn't talk, and then they just went through the litany of how he's a leader. And great job, Purdue University. I know all this stuff takes planning. All this stuff takes a lot of people getting together on it. You guys did a great job, and your focus was in the right place on that day. And great job, ESPN. Great job, Jeff Brohm. Jeff Brohm, when he came out and he had his quick comments, not his behind-a-table comments, and when his eyes were getting glassy,
that was really real.
He doesn't do that. Yeah. He is a guarded guy. We love the fact he's emotional. We love the fact he's smart. We love the fact he thinks out of the box, but he's a planner, right? That was not planned. That was him showing you what's really going on with him, right? Almost like he wasn't really too aware of the cameras at that point, right? Because there's not many people around him. He was just telling you what he saw, what he thought. That was great. Great day. I'm still freaking messed up. I'm so...
It's a fairy tale. It's this doesn't happen. Like this happens in movies. And this happens in this happens in stories. This doesn't happen in real life, right? And that's kind of what made it. Everybody kind of willed it. And I don't know, it would have been as special if it was a loss. You know what I mean? It would have been still special.
Yeah, sure.
That Tyler made it. And that he was there, I cried five separate, just all out emotions crying yesterday. And it would have been five yesterday. Had Purdue lost just because Tyler was there and he's a friend at this point. He was a friend since he was just a kid, a brilliant writer that wrote for the Exponent that had a Bold Sports sticker on press row on his laptop. That's when he was a friend, and now he's a friend in need. And now the whole country knows about this. And
he's trending in the United States.
Yeah, and that's the point of what I was writing today. That's the point of what Dowd was saying about sports, is that it wasn't necessarily this. You can't scientifically say that this will give him a couple more weeks, a couple more months, a couple more years. But what it gave was a memory for his family and for him. And that, and we all knew that's all we were going for. Because if Purdue won, if Purdue lost, it didn't matter. We were going to react the same way. I think Shout would have gone the same way. I think Shout would have been as emotional and as energetic, and everybody would have chanted his name and said cancer sucks and all that. And the fact that, without really telling everyone, everyone knew the story and everyone knew he'd be there in the crowd in Ross Aid, and everybody in Ross Aid banded together to make sure that him and his family had a memory that night, and a memory of joy, and a memory that didn't have to do with any stupid disease. That's the point, right? Like, that's the point. Football is the excuse. Football is the excuse to get together, but the community is the point of this.
I think it means a lot to when you're fighting something like he is. It's milestones, right? It's getting to a certain point, and for a long time, it was getting through chemo, it was getting through surgeries, and now it's you know, a few weeks ago he said, "I want to be there on October 20th," you know, and So it was giving him mileposts to get to. And, you know, you talk about it being a memory and being important to all of them. I mean, if you watch the Rinaldi piece, I said to my wife, I said, it's always the mom that's the strong one. Like, she's sitting there giving the interview, and she's without crying at that moment saying, you know, it's a matter of time. And we just want him to, she described it as probably his last time to go to Purdue. And, like, I can't imagine as a parent saying those words and then helping, you know, to facilitate that, you know, but it gives you something to do, gives you something to do that matters. And it gave the day meaning and the week meaning leading up to it. Like, we want to get to this. We want to make this happen. And then for him to learn that Rinaldi's talking about it and saying, you know, last time I talked to him, I heard, you know, the plan is to be there today. And then Tyler tweets, like, right after that segment, yes, it's a go. So now everyone's watching. Everyone in the country is now paying attention to this. And to that end, we were seeing people, because we retweeted the story, of course, and the responses to us and to the ESPN story on Twitter, I've never seen as many genuine, especially in a cesspool like Twitter, from I saw Ohio State fans, usually the ones who are tweeting all completely abhorrent nonsense, saying, I'm okay with Ohio State losing. I would like to see Tyler get his wish. I can't tell how many people I saw say that. IU people saying, the Crimson Quarry guys, who we've never gotten along with, writing, just putting Boiler Up in their thing, saying, I want this for Tyler, like literally cheering along with Purdue. These are guys who kind of hate Purdue and us and everything else. And what I want to say, I wanted to say to Tyler, look what you did, man. Look at the stuff you're bringing together. Like, in all seriousness, like, you're making people who kind of hate each other for silly reasons realize the value of this. And yeah, I don't know. It's sport. It's more than sports.
Like, well, the thing we all meet on in this story is the respecting life and respecting what a person means when they become resolute about their legacy. Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time to my wife specifically and to my kids. I'm like, how do you want to affect people, right? What do you want to do? And like, when I talk about how I parent my kids and how my wife parents our kids, I say, how do you want them to remember their childhood, right? This is an easy one, right? It's really close to home. It's your kids. You should probably make life enjoyable for them.
Right, right.
You should lead them in a way that prepares them for life, give them faith and wisdom that they can go out in the world, but make life fun. Don't make them want to run for the door, right? Mm-hmm. But the next step is what's your legacy in the world? And this is a question I think we can all ask, right? I mean, when you strip off all the silliness, the things we do, right? How do you want to be remembered? And how do you want to affect the world? And what do you want to do to make it better, right? I mean, we the three of us have different views on different things. We share some commonalities, but I think it's a question that it would be a good one to ask ourselves every day when we wake up in the morning. And that's something that Tyler's given me, and I've told you guys this about my perspective on life and work and things like that. It's been a great bumper, a great guardrail, a great corrector for me as I've complained about things that
that in the end
don't matter.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, if you can fix them, great. But no, but that's the magic of someone like him. The people who are I think many people go through horrible things like this
and yes,
you hear about
yes.
them because yep. to understandably they it consumes them. Understandably, right? Like it is totally fine if you are about you or you don't want to talk to anyone. This guy has had people in and out of his living room, TV cameras, when he's looked probably his worst, right? In terms of like, I don't want people seeing me almost any day, let alone.
Did you read the story about the mascot, the Colts mascot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Blue, the mascot, the guy who's inside the suit.
There's a guy
who wanted to come and visit him, and he decided.
What suit?
No, it's a suit.
There's a person in there?
There's a person in there. That's not really a big, fluffy.
I ruined it.
Sorry. So that guy decided, I'm just going to visit Tyler. And so he doesn't know Tyler at all, but he got to know him and he decided, I'm going to go. I want to be
near him. Brings him stuff, doesn't he?
Brings him stuff, exactly. Just comes and brings something, brings something to eat, you know, something to read. Just brings him stuff because he wants to be there. And I just like what you're saying is the key to this whole thing. Why is Tyler any different than another person who has cancer and is not doing well and is fighting or not fighting? Tyler's different because he decided to take the fight into a bigger circle. And he decided to say, you know what? I'm going to use my megaphone on the Expo. And I think this is probably the first small step he took. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to write some things about what it's like to live with a disability, you know, and then I'm going to get my friends involved and say, hey, you know, we can make this a bigger deal than it's just me. You know, he thought bigger. It's pretty.
And awesome. He hasn't, but he also hasn't ever acted once like a victim.
No,
he's never behaved like he got the short end that he definitely did. He's not viewed his life that way. No. That's what is amazing to me. He like I think it was Carmen or one of the guys was writing a story about him or DeFabo and said, you ask him how he's doing. And he's like, I'm doing fantastic. How are you? I mean, this is like a month ago, he was saying this, like he woke up. So he's fantastic. Like, right. That's been his perspective.
That's why Jeff Brom loves him. That's why he, because he said, I meet this guy. And the first time he's waiting out in front of the stadium, he just comes up and he wants to say, hey, coach, can't wait till tomorrow.
About his illness.
Said nothing about being sick, right?
Right. He's
not dwelling on any of the negative things, right?
He's living, man.
Yep.
You should all live.
Yep.
Nish, you were about to say something and we kept running over you.
Yep. I don't know, man. I was probably about to cry. I don't know. I've run out of them, to be perfectly honest. I've run out of emotions.
It was one of the most amazing nights. I also on Twitter.
It's truly the best. I don't know. Like on Twitter, we'll get to it. But it was. I don't know about you guys, but it's truly the best sports memory that I have. And I don't know. You know everything else. Colts Patriots
for it to all fit together that way though. For it to all mean so much and happen the way it happened. Yeah,
and he's at this point, and I feel weird saying this because now. You know, now the whole country knows about him, but he's a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, it matters to me. Like, I don't care if it matters to everybody else. It matters to me. And that's why it meant so much to me.
Yep.
And you know, if it resonated with other people, then that's wonderful. But I was in my house, you know, me or my wife had been traveling for the last 2 months or month and a half. Mm-hmm. And so this was like the first weekend in like 2 months that we'd been in the same house on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so that was nice. And so it was just a quiet house that we live in mundanely every day. And we were watching a game that we both cared way too much about. We weren't at Ross Aid. We weren't at Harry's. We weren't with you guys. You know what I mean? We were Bold Sports wasn't together. It was just a normal Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like I was working in the yard in the afternoon. It mm-hmm. was a normal Saturday. And that's why it meant so much. It was because in an instant, I cared about nothing else. Mm-hmm. I cared about seeing him on the screen. I cared about making sure that he was there. I cared about seeing that he had made it in the end. And then in the third quarter, that switch flipped and I just wanted that win. I just wanted it. And now this is if anybody says, what does Purdue fandom mean? If anybody says, why do you care about this so much? I will point to this game. I will point to this game and say that Purdue is in the middle of Indiana. And it brought together the Indiana, which is generic state X for most of the country. Mm-hmm. And it brought this story that happened at my university to my friend, brought together the whole country for at least a couple hours. And that's why we do this nonsense that we do. Like this is the excuse that we give each other, right? The sports is the excuse, but oh, it was just perfect. And Twitter, you were saying something about Twitter, Jay.
Well, I just was saying every now and then there's a great, and it has to be like in your funnel, right? Like, cause depending on who you follow, right, your night can be very different. Like Anish, you're a big part of NBA Twitter. So there are some nights that, like the last night of the season, a couple of years ago when the Warriors won 73 and Kobe 60 night. And yeah. Right. Like all happened in one night. And like, if you were plugged into NBA Twitter, it was like just probably a certain vibe. Right. I think last night, if you're into Purdue Twitter, it was an overwhelming wave of, because it wasn't just people screaming and going berserk like everyone was. It was like one amazing like stat or story or video or interview of Tyler or like or someone's personal story about it, or like it was like you could barely keep up. It was just like a fire hose of amazing mm-hmm. like just content and pictures, and like all of a sudden you'd see the players or you'd see people on the field or you'd see Blau with his brother or you'd see Brom like with that, like you said, kind of glassy eyed in one interview, smiling and laughing in another. Beaming, not that he doesn't yeah. ever smile, but just kind of like not sure what to even say. Like he was looking around at that mayhem. And here's a, maybe this is a little pivot point here, but you know, people are, you know, there are people out there who are like, oh, maybe that's not good for keeping him. This raises his profile, right? I would decide, I'm going to decide to take the different tact to say mm-hmm. that can find nice. As a, yes, as a Purdue coach, because that's around you, and you're saying, I did this, and look what we've already got, and this team isn't even what I want yet. If you're Jeff Brohm, he's just getting started, Purdue fans. He is mm-hmm. just getting started with this team, right? They're going to be so much better in a year or two. Rondell Moore as a sophomore and junior? Come on.
Goodness gracious. And Rondell Moore, that's the thing I keep thinking, is Rondell Moore is one guy. That's the thing. It's so amazing. Is there are a couple things that I just loved about last night. There were certain moments during the telecast that I just am watching now, which I didn't get to see, but things right. that were said like Purdue speed is too much for Ohio State,
which is like
what?
I mean, but the thing is, we've heard that sentence before, right? We've heard it exactly once before, and it was 2000.
But that was a different thing.
So not only did they say it, but it's the same.
But they came back from the break, okay? And even when let's go back, Dorian Bryant was the fastest offensive Purdue player during the Tiller era, okay? Yeah. And Dorian Bryant was a great football player. Dorian Bryant was shifty. Dorian Bryant was flying towards the out of bounds generally, not to try not to get hit. Right?
Me too. Yes.
Exactly. I'm not blaming him. That's not what I'm saying.
Oh,
but this guy is so complete. That little out, right? That little pass in the flat, they said, we're going to get the first down. Rondale, go right at the pylon, like, right? Nah. And that guy tries to hit high, and he's like, oh, you're going to try to hit me high? Really?
Do you know that's 600-pound press.
Exactly. And here it comes.
The touchdown, his last one, right, where he sheds the tackler. Uh-huh. You haven't gotten to that point in the game when you're rewatching, and
I've only seen the highlight. I've not seen it on the telecast.
The way that he gets wrapped, and the I don't even know who it's Ohio State defenders, but first of all, like four guys convert.
Number 12, right?
Right. It may have been 12. Yes,
12 like is on guys. His back, like admiring Rondale Moore after he flies by.
Because a guy wraps him up.
Uh-huh.
And flings him, like throws him to the ground, and Rondale just
puts his arm down, plants, bang.
He can do that thing where he's almost perpendicular to the ground, and his little legs get him back up to upright.
Right.
He's incredible. He is. Sam made the point that Purdue's best player has braces. He's still 18 and has braces.
I saw that in the post game.
Yeah.
He's. I hadn't noticed that. He is so. He might be. That's the thing. Is that if only Purdue would have had, let's say, two out of the first three games, he's a Heisman contender.
Yeah.
He's still a Heisman contender.
Still a Heisman contender. Look at his
winning.
Look at his per game numbers.
They win a couple. Well,
more so again. my this is funny perspective about who's watching the game. My wife says, I said, did you watch the game? We FaceTime her in the parking lot of Mackie as we're walking back to our car. And she says, I watched the first and the fourth quarter. I said, are you kidding me? And I said, you did see an amazing. That fourth quarter was crazy.
They scored 28 points in the fourth quarter.
Ridiculous. It's a record for Purdue football, by the way. And so against Ohio State, which is ridiculous. And so she said, did you see more after the game when everybody started rushing the field?
Yeah.
And I said, no. And she said, he said, where's my mom?
He's looking for his mom. That's the only person he's looking for.
Which I thought was so endearing. And it's what my wife would notice before me. It was, that's somebody's son right there, you know? So she's like, he looked like a kid there. I'd like to spend this moment with my mom. And then, so she tells me that. And then I think I had that moment when I was on the field and I lost your son. This is Boiler Dad. I said, I would love to spend this moment with my boy.
Oh, where is he?
Oh, where is he? He's in the throng of 40,000 people on this field.
He's fine.
He'll be okay.
So, by the way, speaking of records, I you know me and loving to throw stats at you just to make you shake your head. Mm-hmm. So Haskins, first of all, he's pretty good.
He's really good.
Second.
He's really good.
Did you know he set records for completions,
73 passes,
and yards for Ohio State?
That's crazy.
All time for Ohio State and lost by four touchdowns.
Well, that's the thing. When you're a program that's trying to get on Purdue's level, you got to do some things that are unconventional.
Yeah, exactly. Right? When you're the big dogs,
they got to sling it around. The great equalizer, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, man. That was a Drew Brees versus Wisconsin type of game, right? I mean, sling.
And Haskins had some pinpoint passes, but his receivers let him down.
Yes, they did.
I mean,
by the way, he is a ginormous human being.
He's huge, and his strength isn't in his legs or his running or his size. He's got an arm. He's got an accurate arm. His strength is in his accuracy.
He's a lot different than the previous big athletic
quarterbacks at Ohio State. Yeah, I mean, so you look at Barrett. You look at any.
I mean, those guys couldn't throw. He's a passer, and he's a boy. I tell you what,
smart.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a good quarterback. Purdue schemed perfectly for him. Purdue took away the run from Ohio State, which is ridiculous. Ohio State said, you know what? We're going to run right now. And they would tell Purdue, they say, guess what? We're Ohio State still. Here we are. Here come our big, massive 350-pound guys, and we're going to hit you in the mouth. And Purdue would be like, you're not going to be able to move the ball.
Listen to this. 25 carries for 76 yards, 3 yards per carry. So, Ohio State versus Purdue. Now, let's go to the Purdue side.
All right.
29 carries for 161 yards, 5.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns.
My favorite thing is the perplexed comments behind me because I had a line of Ohio State people in the row right behind me. The guys that were Missouri when you guys were there, they were all Ohio State this game. Thanks, whoever did that. They kept saying, oh, here we go. Now we're going to play some football. When Ohio State would bring in that jumbo set, right? They'd be like, okay, here we go. That goal line stand for Purdue. Ohio State has the ball on the freaking goal line, right? They're on the three.
I think we've talked enough about the offense. Continue, Dad.
Yes. And so Purdue's defense says, all right, you guys want to do, we'll dance. We'll dance. You're not going to pass over us. We'll go, right? And they stop the running back. They stop the draw. You watch the way. Here's something I will challenge all Purdue fans right now. You're going to go back. You're going to watch this game, I don't know, 70 or 80 times this week. So enjoy it. But watch this, okay? Purdue played a zone, a design zone where they sagged. Watch the way they flowed to the ball. They did exactly the way perfect attacking zones do. A guy would catch the ball.
When Haskins pulls up.
Yes. There's space, right? You look, you're like, it's one guy. Then there are five Purdue players. Bang. They just appear. They appear and they say, there's no place to go, bro. You got nothing. You've been swallowed by the black hole. The good guys in black are right here. And I loved it. They did it over and over and over. He'd pass a ball out into the flat to McLaurin, who I still can't stand. And he'd be in space. Bang. They would all appear about it. And it wouldn't just be DBs. That was the thing that was awesome to watch. Neil would come over to help with that backside of that tackle. You're like, he's going to seal that off.
He is a mother.
You know what's
so good?
And it was weird that Pro Football Focus actually ranked his game as a bad one because he had a lot of missed tackles. And the way that I explained that is
clogged.
If you watch the game, all he needed to do was slow him down. Mm-hmm. And if he slows him down, a swarm of four mm-hmm. Purdue players, all of a sudden, it allows Thieneman, it allows everyone. Bailey. Oh my God.
Lots.
Bailey. I mean, gosh, Bailey was a man possessed last night. Mm-hmm. It allowed Thieneman and Bailey. Ken Major was phenomenal last night, which is just like, what are we talking about? Antonio Blackman was great tonight. Last night, Barnes was, I think, one of the most unsung players of that. He just him and Neil would hit right at the line and slow everything down, and all of a sudden that would allow everybody to collapse. It was phenomenal.
The interesting thing about Barnes is Barnes. Everybody told me he was a linebacker last year, and I said that's not a linebacker. That's an end. He's not. He doesn't move in space like I'd like a linebacker to, but he's strong. He's got long arms, so he can separate from blockers. You know, he's got a lot of good things going on physically, but I don't think he's a linebacker. And when they put him at the end, to me, it looks like you've got the next member of the den of defensive ends.
You got Rick Kerrigan. Get Kerrigan light.
I mean, he looks fantastic in that role. When they bring him up into the box, it's excellent. And I'm really, really proud of this defense. Think about this, guys.
I mean, Holt, the way that Holt puts this together.
Guys, let's think about the first three games, and we all have a decent enough memory to think about Northwestern.
Except for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer doesn't have really that great of a memory.
No, he's got a lot of things. He's got a bad heart. He's got a bad memory.
Yeah.
He's doing it at this point for charity. He's an all-around good guy.
Figurehead. Anyway.
But think about that defense, those first three games, right? Because if you go back and look at how we all wrote and how we all talked, we said the offense needs to find rhythm because we need the offense to put points on the board, make teams uncomfortable so the defense can play a more attacking style. We weren't going to rely on the defense to beat anybody,
mm-mm.
right? Now Purdue has a defense that is – sag and then they stiffen up. You get mm-hmm. A team gets into that 20-30 yard line, good things start happening. Holt is blitzing. Holt is using different guys. I'm still seeing new names. I don't know about you guys. I mean, that's the thing. I think I'm relatively decent at understanding the roster, but I'm seeing new names every game, and it's not just from injury. He's preparing this team for a longer run.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting better every freaking game. And gosh darn it, that was a good Ohio State team that Purdue just shut down for.
Well, people are now talking about Ohio State. If you watch the Big Ten Network, if you watch ESPN, Van Pelt started his show talking to Herb Street last night. And they were talking about all the things wrong with Ohio State. Oh, this exposed some glaring, you know, issues. Okay, maybe. Maybe it did expose some things, and maybe it is a blueprint on how you can beat them. But Ohio State was 7-0. Ohio State was rolling up points on teams.
They beat good teams.
By the way, they won in Happy Valley. So I hope Coach Franklin was watching to see that's how you beat Ohio State, Coach.
Exactly.
So I was thinking today, you know what the analogy was for me? You have to beat Ohio State. You can't do what Franklin did, which is, what was it, run like a draw on 4th and 5 when the game wasn't going in? Something like
you're playing Ohio State's game. You're playing Ohio State's game.
I was going to say you treat them like a zombie. You keep stabbing them until there's nothing left. You just keep going. You just keep going and going and going and going because Purdue didn't stop.
4th and 3 at the 14-yard line with 20 seconds left in the half, and you line up for a field goal,
right away,
you stab the zombie again.
How much do you love Joe Schopper, dude?
When he put his shoulder down and flattened an Ohio State D end, get out of here!
Come on now,
our punter.
So, by the way, that's when the win probability right then is when it flipped to Purdue. Just so you know, it was still really? Ohio State by 64%. And then when he did that, it jumped to Purdue 57%.
And then Rondale scored. And then
well, the funny thing about Rondale, so my son is almost encyclopedic. When he can remember, you know, certain plays. And I remember Rondale Moore had just dropped a pass.
Yep.
Right. And I said, that's his second drop of the season.
Yeah.
And my son says, no, that's his second drop in this game. And I said, yep. No, it's not. He said, yeah. He had a little pass out in the flat, like third play of the game. And I was like, oh, that's right. The wind pushed it. I mean, it was crazy.
Lateral. Yeah.
Yes. Well, the wind was really, really stiff, and it actually kind of lightened up.
But the second one was a real drop.
And remember, he kind of messed around. He had another one where he bobbled it and gathered. Mm-hmm. Everything looks real easy, you know, for him. He's almost too nonchalant, too cool, too good of an athlete.
Like Carson Edwards. He's smooth.
Absolutely. Very smooth, right? But we used to always say when Joe Tiller was at Purdue, my brothers and I, we used to say, we're going to have an after-school special, meaning Travis Dorsch is going to make a mistake, and then Joe Tiller is going to give him another chance to go make it better. After-school special with Purdue football. And then we both high-five, like, after-school special when Rondale Moore scored the off-ball. You know, that crossing route, a second letter.
I think he can have many chances. I'm okay with him.
You think he's built some equity is what you're saying.
I love the fact that now Purdue – so there was – Purdue now will just keep giving it to Rondale. Like, just how about a jet sweep? How about a throw out in the flat? And how about this? When you're going to, like, play soft coverage on him? All right. I mean, if you guys want to play –
Choose your poison.
Why would you do that?
And my favorite is when you give it to him 3, 4, 5 times, you put him in motion, all of a sudden you got 11 eyes on him, and you just
don't follow him.
And you just give it to DJ Knox, and all of a sudden ends up.
That Blau sneak, right? The fourth down keeper.
Yes, exactly.
What,
he
got 4 or 3 yards on just a fall forward because everybody saw Moore move. They're like, uh-oh. They all, right? Yep. Yep. Everybody looks Moore's way, and then Blau's like, yep, I'm just going to fall right in the spot because now you got our linemen going man up. The linebackers are gone.
It was funny. I think Holly Anderson was tweeting that Purdue left too much time for Purdue to score at the end of the game.
I didn't hear that. That is awesome.
It was great. Everybody was loving it, and everybody was on the bandwagon.
I don't watch games like you yellers do. When I'm at my house, I'm not much of a yeller at the TV. I mean, at the game, we're there from Missouri, obviously. When I'm in the house,
I completely understand that, yeah.
Like, when I'm in my basement, I actually watch mostly in silence, good and bad. I'm kind of like...
Get it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I
was the Rondell gets tackled but didn't go down and scores to make it 42 to, and I was swimming on the floor. Like, I was like, I didn't know what to do. So like you would have gone and run around the house, Anish. I was like I
ran around the house and my dog started barking at me like I was an intruder. And he was like, what is happening?
What's
my
going
guy?
On?
What are you doing?
I'm gonna stop this.
Yeah. He was not feeling it. Right. I was running laps around my house.
By the way. I said there was a million things on Twitter that were great. Like, here's one that just popped in my head because of this. Spencer Hall from Every Day Should Be Saturday. He says, So you know, Ron, you know that Ron, Rajon Rondo.
Oh, that was the funniest tweet maybe I've ever seen.
There's a lot of funny things about Rondo punching Chris Paul in the face, but the funniest one is definitely how Purdue beat Ohio State by 29 points tonight. It only has 2,500 likes. That deserves so much.
It's so good. It's so good.
He said, and he also says, Purdue Tyler is a better person than me because he put a mic in front of my face when my team is throwing a whole bank vault on top of the number two team in the nation. I'm going to make the FCC some money.
Brutus is hiding a child. Like, talk smack.
Brutus is hiding a child, he said. Yes. Yeah, like... That's the fun thing. I messaged you guys about this today. That's another fun byproduct of a game like that. Everyone who knows you are connected to Purdue. And it's more, I think, for those of us who aren't in the Purdue viewing area, if you're not in Indiana, it's a little more unique because, you know, everyone there knows Purdue families, I think, right? Like, in the East, there's fewer of us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was getting texts from people I haven't talked to in a year. You know, but are you watching this? I was like, yeah,
of course.
I missed it. What Family Guy's on, right? New episode.
Yeah, I saw Rondo throw that punch. No, I was like, people texting. You see people the next day who see you wearing something Purdue, and they stop you to talk about it. Like, that is such a fun. And I've said to a few people, it's so fun to know that the whole country was a Purdue fan. Not just because of Tyler, but because of Ohio State.
Yeah.
No, it's not even like Purdue was playing a likable, you know, like if it was the Tyler story, but they were playing a program that you were like, oh, yeah, I don't mind.
Stanford.
Right. You'd be like, well, you know, but it was Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Who better to take a pie in the face? Like,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And you saw the, by the way, Purdue sports social media team.
Oh, the continues to,
the whiteboard.
Dotting, oh, my gosh.
Wait, what was this?
He goes by a whiteboard that says Boilermakers. And
Boilermakers win, back. Right? They say Boilermakers win.
And he comes back and he takes a Sharpie and he dots the I in Boilermaker.
I missed this. Oh, my God.
And did you see the Purdue drum major actually did the back bend where they touched the plume to the ground? I was like, they're just kind of giving the finger to him. I was like, this is awesome. And everybody's doing it. They're like, guess what? We're here.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it was brazen, and I loved it. Everybody was.
One of the things I said on Twitter, I said, I love Purdue football being utterly unafraid of anything.
Because that's when Purdue is the best. It's not when we play Daryl Hazel ball, which is Ohio State ball, which is trying to play that Ohio State game without Ohio State.
Well, now they throw the ball, though.
But that's the thing. You evolve like football. You evolve like football evolves, right? And so you have to play like you have nothing to lose.
Unless you're Michigan State, who had 95 yards of offense.
Well, we gotta play them. So let's beat them too. But
that is ugly football they played on Saturday, though. I know it was wet. Ugh.
All that crap pregame too, and all the little brother stuff with Michigan and Michigan State. Like, stop it already!
So let's do this every week. Let's look forward. Michigan State is next week at Michigan State.
Do you feel as badly about this one as I do?
I think it's a letdown game, don't you? It's tough. It's tough to follow this.
That's a good Michigan State team. That's an angry Michigan State team. They got disrespected, blah, 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 blah. Oh, right.
But if they follow this with another win.
They're ranked on Monday, friends. They followed that.
They've already got 17 votes.
I know.
They have more votes than Michigan State right now. They're 30. I just, the AP, they're 33rd. So it sounds about right, honestly.
I'd say that, yeah, sure. Yeah. 33rd. And then we play Iowa, which is a tough game. Iowa's good.
And then is it Minnesota and then Wisconsin?
Minnesota was at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, home versus Wisconsin at Indiana.
Hmm.
Two games, and we get a postseason out of this 0-3.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And so in that, you would have to say it's Indiana and Minnesota, and you hope that there's no letdown. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's a weird season. It's been a weird season.
Saying to you guys, I want to say it for everyone, I am really enjoying the PJ Fleck era far more than I thought I was going to. It is so fun seeing him on the sidelines, like just flummoxed, like not knowing what to do as his team just gets curb stomped by an 0-6 team. Oh, it's freaking fun.
It's funny. That reminds me. We used to always say that, you know, Purdue was good for what ails you, right? You know, teams got some going wrong with them. They can't run. Right. They're going to figure out how to run versus Daryl Hazel. His team will allow you to figure things
way,
out.
By right? the way, 4 years of Hazel, 9 wins. 2 years of Brum, 11. Not even 2 years of Brum, 11 wins.
Well, and that's interesting, too. He's only 11-9. Imagine when things get cooking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Imagine how much BS we'll be on when he gets cooking.
Hey, okay, another factoid. You guys saw this. This is not rocket science. You could figure it out in like 4 seconds, Anish, because you're a math guy. You know, Jay and I were liberal arts guys. This is hard for us to understand. But this is pretty clear. Even a dumb guy like me can figure this out. Purdue's first three games, they lost by a total of 8 points. Mm-hmm. Purdue's next games...
Oh no.
99 points. They were plus 99 in their victories.
That's four. Yeah, that's four. The 1, 2, 3, 4.
I do the math. That's That's more than two or one and a half a game. Goodness gracious. That's crazy.
They are
you talk about a different team flipping a switch. I mean, I had a friend of mine from Michigan who I work with. He said, "I gotta tell you, I'm gonna call you out right now." I said, "Okay, go ahead." And he said, "After that Eastern Michigan game, you said I don't think they're going bowling this year." And I said,
"You did?
Are you kidding me? Of course I said that. I was there. I watched that team with my own eyes. I'm like, this is not."
So I have a theory on that. I have a theory on that. See if you guys like this. Okay. So that EMU game and Rucker last year. Mm-hmm. Similar in some ways, right? Where Brom afterwards said, I was on me. I wasn't aggressive enough. I was too, you know, we didn't do what we could be doing. Mm-hmm. I almost think that Purdue is still learning how to play an inferior team. Like they don't, like they just ball out when they're, hey, this team might be pretty good. Let's just destroy them. Let's just throw everything at them that we have. And they've crushed everybody.
Well, couldn't you say you could even make an argument even the next step because they didn't call a Purdue-type game versus Northwestern, I would argue. We were all kind of
similar. Right? The three picks changed that game.
They did. And
they were trying to call
it. But this is where Brahm, again, was a big enough man to say, yeah, I screwed up those first games. Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't call this right. We didn't call this right. We didn't prepare right. And I didn't give Dave Blau the tools to win. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome for a coach to say.
I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for him. He's such a wonderful guy, Blau. Yeah. Think about where he was when he began starting for Purdue, right? When he got thrust into the fire, right? And look where he is now, and look at that smile when he's on the field afterwards, like soaking it in.
Look at the smile he has when he runs on the field with his helmet in his hand after his team scores at the end of the game.
That was amazing. He takes a penalty.
And he's like, "My bad." That's me.
And everybody else is like, "No, not your bad.
You're good.
Come on in."
Like, I just wanted to give Bailey a hug. That's my dog.
Isaac Zico, one hand in that first touchdown. There's so much that, like you said, the hype video of two seasons worth happened in one game. Mm. Right?
How about have a video if you could just show the receivers dropping balls last year and then show them acting like supermen this year? I mean, when somebody drops the ball now, we're like, whoa, what's that all about?
What the heck happened there?
Exactly. Yeah. Last year, let's not forget – deep in the season. In fact, so deep it was during the bowl game, those receivers would have lapses where they were worthless, right? You're like, I'm going to throw it to that post. Bing!
These receivers are great, and Jamarcus Shepherd is a genius. He's a star.
Genius.
People call him a rising star. He's a star.
He's a star.
He's right. A star. He should be a coordinator, and instead he's on Jeff Brom's staff.
He's a co-coordinator, just like that's the thing that I didn't know. Do you know Holt's title is actually co-coordinator as well?
I think I did see that, yes.
Well, when Louisville hires Brian Brom as head coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to make Shepherd just an outright OC.
Have to. I mean, yeah, if I were Louisville, that's exactly what I would do.
He's like an obvious, he's a favorite son.
We
don't want to see it happen. That's not what we're not suggesting.
Listen, when Brian Brom goes, We're gonna be sad.
We're gonna be sad. Exactly.
We're gonna be sad, but it is what it is. We can't prevent it.
You can't do anything about that.
Undefeated rest of the way, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Good.
Got to get to 10 wins somehow. You can lose one more and still win the Big Ten title game and your bowl game. And there you go.
Okay. And life is good.
Here, Jay.
Yes. Yes.
If that one loss is IU, you good?
If it means they go to the Big Ten title game and win it?
Yeah. We already banked Ohio State on Tyler Day. Are you kidding me? To be perfectly honest,
all house money is what you guys are saying.
We could lose out, and this is the game that I needed. I didn't know that this was the game that I needed a couple weeks ago, but this is the game that I needed. This is it. Like, I'm playing with. I don't care at this point.
Do you get any feeling psychologically that this team says we've done what we've come to do?
No, not even close.
Teams that would win one game like this and then be like,
right.
Yay! Though I think next week might be a letdown game, probably more likely than not.
It's hard to maintain the intensity.
Yeah.
But I think that this team thinks that they are invincible. Like, not that they have achieved their goal.
He looks invincible, man. Scramble play in the fourth quarter, early fourth, late third, where he rolled to the right. And he said, okay, I'm going to run it. And then he's like, nope.
There's a guy.
Hold back. Throws it.
It was the same play. If you remember, it was the same play that they ran for Hopkins for the touchdown a couple weeks ago. It was the same. There were four points of misdirection.
And he has to throw across his body, though.
It's a designed play. And when you're designing that, you know that the defense doesn't plan for throwing across the body, but the quarterback always plans to throw like that. You know what I mean? So it's just like the tight end is a delayed option. So it's kind of delayed across the middle and nobody's going to defend him. So it's basically throwing across your body on to a wide open guy. Mm-hmm. So it kind of evens out. It's a brilliant play. It's brilliant and simple and perfect.
Well, he's got so many brilliant plays. One of them is, one of them is the very simple play where he had Rondale Moore in the slot, and I think it was Hopkins as tight end, and he cleared out everybody with Hopkins, right? He cleared out a linebacker because of the nature of the route, and then you play them right into the place you want to be anyway. The ball's in Rondale Moore's hands in open field. They did it two or three times, right? Because you're saying, what Ohio State did that's different than Illinois. Illinois was saying, okay, we are going to put three guys around Rondale Moore. Ohio State said, we don't need to do that. We're Ohio State. We've got athletes. I mean, he's good, yeah, but we're not going to do it. And so they would say, we'll bring that safety up, you know, but we're not going to drop everybody back. We're not going to bracket him, right? And so now you've got Rondale Moore with the ball, and he has full vision of the field. He's catching it right where he wants you. It's fantastic stuff.
By the way, complete aside here, but also, like you said, Purdue University did a great job about everything. Mm-hmm. Great job on the uniform choice, even. Purdue hadn't done the blackout.
The blackout.
Somebody said it had been 2 years since they did they hadn't done it since 16, the full black head to toe.
Which game was that? Because I was probably, I'm sure it was a loss, and I was there.
Yeah.
But yeah. This goes back to the thing I've said for years. You do this once in a while for something like that. And then you go back to all the other awesome combos they have.
Yeah.
You know? Oh man, they did everything.
All the awesome combos and that stupid gray uniform.
Get that out of here. Even though I'm wearing a gray Purdue sweatshirt.
Yours is fine. Yours has black on the shoulders. They put black on the shoulders, the gray jersey. I would at least be okay with it, but it's like they have black pants, light gray, and charcoal. What the? Come on.
No, I don't like it. I will end it with this. Rondale Moore tweeting at 9 o'clock this morning, Sunday morning. And they said I was crazy. Hashtag boiler up. He's quote tweeting, Rondale Moore commits to Purdue.
Awesome.
This is our guy. This is our dude. And so are there any, do you want to go, Justin, you want to go with one question to end it out, or one or two, or do we have anything else to end it out on?
I didn't solicit.
Excellent. Good. We don't need them. We don't need you guys.
Solicitation.
We don't need you guys.
Different show. Special show, guys. You guys did great.
We don't need you. I'm sorry. I'm very emotional right now. I'm going end to end here.
And he's got everything he needed last night. Everything.
Right. I really did. It was
red wine, Purdue football. Oh,
man, it was a perfect combination. She went to bed immediately after the game.
And you were up for another 4 hours.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was writing content for this lovely website that we call Blood Sports, which we have a sponsor.
We do. We should mention them more often.
What are they?
They are a Purdue family bringing you high quality gear that you want to wear. Not that you'll want to buy it because you're like, okay, that price is pretty good and the designs are solid. And then you're like, they're a Purdue family. And then you put them on. You're like, dang, nab, I look good. MartinVintage.com. Check them out. MartinVintage.com.
What if I don't want to pay all of what they were?
Well, here's the thing. You may want to pay whatever price they have out there because the stuff's that good. But if you enter Boiled at checkout, you will get 20% off. MartinVintage.com. Check them out right now. Wait, not right now. Wait until you're done with this podcast.
Hey, people can. We're millennials. We can multitask. Yeah. I don't get that.
I'm an Xer. I don't.
You're listening to this on your tape deck.
Yep.
And it's fine.
I'm making mixtapes right now for my wife about Handsome Hour, greatest hit stuff,
All
the things Anish has done this season that are just amazing.
That's right.
They should check it out when they're done listening to this podcast, which is right
now.
Now.
Which is now.
Love you guys. Good night.